Let's pray as we come to God's word. Lord, we thank you that you are our commander, that you are the head of the Lord's heavenly armies, that it is you that fights for us, it is you that comes alongside us, it is you that goes ahead of us, it is you that holds all our battles, all our Jerichos, all the things that we face in this life. We offer you all these things now. Amen. Amen. So in our series of Heavenly Presence, we come to this part of Joshua and the book of Joshua. And Joshua was Moses' assistant. Later, you know, later in his life, Moses had heard the command of God and had commissioned Joshua to be his successor. Well, we could sort of say that Joshua had done his work experience with Moses. He had experienced firsthand all that it was to work for the Lord, to lead the people of God, to shepherd, to follow, to be in the presence of God, to faithfully seek the direction of the Lord in the challenges that he faced. He had seen all of this in the life and ministry of Moses, and this is the education that he had had as a young man. And now, at this point in the book of Joshua, we see, and as we come to those walls of Jericho and beyond, this is a book that speaks about the conflicts and conquests and the battles that Joshua and the people would face. And Joshua has taken the land. He takes his steps forward. Moses had brought the people to the border of the promised land. It is Joshua that takes them across the River Jordan and into the promised land. And when they get there, what do they find? Battles, conflicts to be fought, conquests to be made. And these battles that they would fight, they fight in the grace of God and through faith in God. And it might remind us of that passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that says, what? For we walk not by sight, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what the people do here in this part of God's word. They walk by faith and not by sight. And that's what we are called out to live as well. And that's part of the example that Joshua leaves for us here this morning. And it wasn't an easy journey for the Israelites. And the battles they faced were hard fought and hard won, and each presented a challenge. And here is the challenge of Jericho. We can imagine that Joshua is here kind of casing the joint, doing a recce. Now, I have to remember that Joshua's done this before, okay? Joshua was one of the spies that was sent into the promised land way before. Came back and said, there are people like giants in that place, but we can do it. So he's casing the joint. And as he's doing so, he sees this man before him. And it might sound familiar to last week's Bible reading, where Abraham and Sarah meet these three strangers. And at the beginning, there's nothing too obvious about them that would suggest that there's anything different about them. But here is this man. There's nothing apparently supernatural about him. Joshua sees a warrior. He sees a warrior who is ready with his sword in hand. And it's a drawn sword. That's an offensive posture. That's somebody who's ready to wield that sword. He's kitted out, so to speak. When you play football, you play rugby, you get your boots on, don't you? If you're going out to work on the farm, you put your boots on. If you're going to cook or bake, you put your apron on and your big white hat. You get yourself kitted out. This is a warrior who's kitted out and ready for the fight. And Joshua, in all his courage and in his forwardness, goes to this man and says, and asks a very natural question, who are you? Are you friend or are you foe? Are you with us or against us? And as leader of the people, as shepherd over God's people at this time, Joshua has the responsibility to do this, to suss him out. Are you with us or against us? Are you friend or foe? And the answer he receives is a strange, if not really interesting, answer. Are you with us or against us? No. It's not even grammatically correct, is it? Because what Joshua asked wasn't a yes or no question, but he responds, no or neither. I am the Lord of heaven's armies, and I have come. This is a heavenly presence, not a human one, a heavenly presence. Joshua might have thought, well, I thought I was the commander of the army. Who are you? Who are you to come and say that you are the commander of the Lord's army? This is not an ordinary man or an ordinary warrior or even an extraordinary angel. This is the commander of heaven's armies. What else gives away the identity of this person? Well, Joshua falls on his face and he worships, doesn't he? He falls before this person. And this person receives that worship. They accept that worship. Elsewhere, angels who come in a heavenly presence will say, no, the Lord is the only one who's worthy of worship. Don't worship me. But this person accepts that worship. They don't deflect it. They take it because this is the one who is worthy of worship. Who is this? This is the Lord Jesus. Again, this is the Lord Jesus appearing in human form to a human being. Before he came as that little child at Bethlehem, this is Jesus. And Joshua acknowledges this, falls before him and says, my Lord God, what do you have to say to your servant? And essentially, what the Lord is saying here to Joshua is, first, realize where you are and who it is that stands before you. And he says, take off your sandals. Now, I want you all to reach down and start unbuckling. I'm only joking. I'm not going to ask you to take your shoes off. But he says, take your shoes off because where you stand is holy ground. Realize who it is before you. Realize who it is you are worshipping. This is the Holy One. And Joshua does this. He takes off his sandals, an outward sign of his inner obedience and worship. And he's standing in a place in that moment that demands the worship of God. It's a holy place because the Lord is there. And maybe like Joshua, today and every morning when we wake, probably, we need to realize who it is that we worship. Who it is that stands before us and says, I am the Lord. We need to realize where we are and who we worship. We worship God who alone is worthy. We don't take off our shoes or our sandals. But how do we mark out the place and the time where we meet the Lord and where we see the Lord? Well, we do so in a posture of heart. It's a reverence of heart. It's an obedience to the Lord, a submitting to the Lord and giving all over to him. Just as taking off his sandals was a mark of obedience from Joshua, we give our acknowledgement of who he is and who we are in his eyes. Loved children of God who worship a holy God. So we leave behind and take off the barriers that we put up between us and him and honour him as the king who would later go on to wash his disciples' feet. And ultimately, like Joshua, in these next few verses of this passage, we will see that all things belong to him. The battle belongs to God. For us then, all our battles, all our Jerichos belong to God as well, because who will ultimately win the fight? Us in our human power fighting alone, or God, the Holy One, God who alone is able? Joshua thinks he's the commander of the Lord's army. I'm the commander. I know what I'm doing. Or we might say, I'm the Lord of my own heart and the Lord of my own soul. I know what I'm doing. I'm not giving that over to the Lord. Joshua meets the commander, the warrior, the victor. God the just, God the righteous, God the able, the only one who is worthy of our worship. And God tells him, the Lord Jesus tells him, this battle isn't yours. This invasion isn't yours. It's mine. The battle is mine. King David, as a young boy, not yet king, in 1 Samuel 17 is facing a great obstacle. Anybody guess what he's facing at this point? He's 9 foot tall. He's Goliath and the Philistine army. He's facing such an obstacle, and David says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands. He is facing incredible odds. Everything's against him. A young boy with a few stones and a sling against a mighty 9-foot warrior and a Philistine army, ready to wipe them out. But David in this moment draws on all the promises of God that had been heard and seen and fulfilled in the past. And that promise that God is our source of strength, God is our power and our courage, and it is God who determines the outcome. And in that story of the boy David, we see that God used the physically weakest, the littlest of the family of Jesse to display his mighty word to the world. And God continues that pattern every day. He uses the weak to shame the strong of the world, and he displays his might and brings glory to himself. The Lord says, the battle is mine. This fight is mine. This invasion isn't yours. It's mine. And he says, you need to connect into me. Literally, in step. You need to be in step with me. I will give you the directions. And those directions might look strange or entirely different to what we might expect or imagine. Joshua has an army of thousands ready to fight. Chapter 4, just before this passage, it tells us that there are 40,000 warriors who had passed over the Jordan before the Lord, ready for battle. And these 40,000 are waiting on the plains of Jericho. 40,000 warriors ready to fight, to win, to wield swords, to battle for Jericho. What they didn't expect was to march around the walls and then give a great big shout. You can imagine the guards of Jericho standing on the wall and looking down, thinking, what on earth are they doing? Why are they walking around? They're going to knock down our walls by marching around our city. It must have looked and sounded like nonsense, but that is what they were called to do and what they did. With the horns blasting and the shouting of 40,000, the walls came tumbling down. And with these strange actions, with these directions given by the Lord, they ultimately win the Battle of Jericho. God wins the battle, because the battle belongs to God. God is for God. God is for his will and his way. So whenever Joshua asks, are you for us or against us? He says, no. I am for I am. God is for God. And instead, God asks, are you with me? Are you for me? It's my side that you should be concerned with, because the fight belongs to me. Get on my side. You need to be, we need to be people who are on the side of the Lord. When Nicola led us in the Lord's Prayer earlier on, we said, Our Father in heaven. Did we then go on and say, Hallowed be my name, my kingdom come, my will be done? No, we don't. We say, Your kingdom come, your will be done. God's will be done, with or without us. But we're invited to get involved, to be in step with the mighty Lord of heaven's armies. And this is our confidence, that in all things God's ways are better. And that's our confidence in life and our confidence in faith and in prayer. 1 John 5 tells us, this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. According to whose will? God's will. We need to connect into God's will. How often in our prayers are we essentially just praying and we're doing our best to convince God to be on our side? You know, Lord, this is really what I want. Can you do this for me? We're kind of desperately trying to convince him to get off his own side and be on our side and give us what we want. But the Lord says, ask in my will. We come to him and we already have a side. We already have an agenda. We already have a plan. And we're just trying to get God on board with us. When the word of God, it tells us instead to be on board with his plans and his agenda. Our confidence in prayer is that we are in accordance with his will. We need to be on God's side of the equation. And that's what Joshua is learning here. That God has his own schedule. That God has his own plans. And they are always for good. For our good, the good of the world, and for the good of the kingdom of God. So what do we do when we face our own Jerichos? We might be walking towards our Jericho walls right now and feeling that we're very alone. We haven't got 40,000 warriors alongside us. We're maybe walking towards our Jericho walls, or maybe we're already nose to nose with them right now. Where is our confidence? Where do we find our confidence in such times? Because we all face them. We find our confidence in God alone who is able. God alone who is worthy of all our worship. Because he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. So we recognize who it is we worship. Who it is we stand before, and the strength and the might that there is in his name. There is might in his name. Much more might than there is in ours. When we call upon the name of the Lord, there is strength and courage and might in his name. So we give our obedience of heart to him. Just as Joshua fell on his face before him and took off his sandals, we obey, we listen, we hear, we read, we come to his words. Because we know the one to whom the battle belongs. The one who fights for us, who holds all things in his hands, who ultimately will accomplish all his plans for us in ways that we could never think of or ask or even imagine. Because his ways are better and higher. And God is for God. And God is for his children. And his way and his will be accomplished in and through us. So we need to get on board with him. with confidence. We can do that with confidence because when we ask and pray and seek in his ways and in his will, he hears us. So let's pray to the God who sees us, who hears us, who knows us, from whom nothing is hidden. Let's pray. Father God, you are the Lord of heaven's armies, more mighty, more strong, more able than we could ever imagine. And Lord, whatever we face in the days to come, good or bad, Lord, we pray that we would walk in your way and in your will, that it would be the Lord that goes before us, that it would be the Lord who fights for us, that we would give over the control, give over the swords, that we with confidence would come to you knowing that you are mighty and able, that we recognize just who it is we worship, how mighty he is, how mighty to save. We pray these things in your Son's name and by your Spirit. Amen.